Good positioning. He didn't see it at all. Here come the Preds. Right side. Sherwood with room. Safe. C lobs. Rebound. Score. First NHL goal for Luke Evangelista. Preds cut the lead to 3-2. 11:29 left in the third. Roman Josi left point. Makes a spin move. Left circle across. Tipped on the way to Duchesne. Barry cranks one and scores. Preds tie the game with 3:05 to go. And Luke Evangelista leads the line. That's back-to-back third period goals for his first two on a tip-in to tie it.
That's Max Herz on the call last night on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, and the reporter Nick Kieser. It was a late night in Vancouver. Predators get a point. Couldn't quite complete the comeback, even though Luke Evangelista tied it up with back-to-back goals in the third period. It would go to overtime, nothing doing there, and then Vancouver takes it in the shootout with Elias Pettersson scoring there. He got his 30th goal of the year earlier in the game, a 300th career goal. He's pretty good at the hockey. But this Evangelista kid looking pretty good at the hockey as well. Been very, very impressed with him, Michelle, through his first few games. Not only, you know, was scoring last night, but the stuff that he's done away from the puck, he's drawn penalties. He just seems like he belongs right now.
Yeah, I mean, he was the young guy. Was that last week when David Poile came on with Robbie and Rexroad? He mentioned somebody would be making their NHL debut.
Yeah.
And we were trying to guess, and then it was released during our show that Luke Evangelista would make his debut. And a week later, look at him, right? I mean, he got a point the other day, off an assist, and now he got two goals. He has really shown that he's finding his way onto this team and the opportunities, right? I mean, we looked at the trade deadline and how selling older players and getting off some older contracts allowed some of these younger stars to come up from Milwaukee and get an opportunity in the NHL and play a good stint this year as they try to fight for a playoff spot. So, I mean, if you're a Predators fan, he's exciting to watch. And especially in just a short week, the progress he's been able to make in the NHL. It's very exciting, Chase.
Oh, it's so exciting because I think everything is working out how it needed to with this sell-off that the Predators have made, and a guy that Preds fans were really excited to see in Luke Evangelista. Now you're seeing him and everything that everybody thought he was going to be, so far he is. Now, it's four games. It's early. Not trying to be the Baby Ruth in the punch bowl, but it, you know, that's what it is. And I think that he's going to, like any young rookie, going to go through the ebbs and flows of learning the National Hockey League. But the things that I have seen out of him so far impress me. And, again, it's the stuff, not just scoring goals. You know he can do that. It's the stuff away from the puck as well. Head coach John Hines commented on his young winger last night.
What about Luke Evangelista, obviously getting two goals tonight, but getting that top line time as well?
Yeah, I thought Luke looked good. You know, he seems to get more and more comfortable, but he's got good, you know, good offensive instincts. I really like how he competes. You know, he doesn't shy away in the hard areas of the game. And, you know, I think his first goal is a long time coming. He could have certainly had more prior to tonight, but really happy that he got his first one tonight. That's a special moment for him.
Yeah, first two, and it was special. So I think he is certainly fitting in, and I can't wait to see Forsberg back and see what those two can do. The other thing that I'd like to point out is I really like the move for Tyson Barry. Obviously, Matthias Ekholm meant a lot to this team, but now that you have added another offensive defenseman in the form of Tyson Barry to pair with Josi, I like where that's going, because that kind of reminds me of, you know, what they had with Ellis a few years ago. I still think when healthy, Ellis was probably a better defenseman or a better offensive defenseman, but I like what they've added with Tyson Barry. He can quarterback a power play just like Roman Josi. You saw it last night. He sets up the second goal, fires it on net. I think he's fitting in nicely too.
Well, and Nick, what is the stat that you have on Tyson Barry? He's second in goals off the power play in the NHL?
Well, I was about to look it up, but he, on Saturday at least, even after that game, and I think this changes after last night too, possibly, but he was tied for the most power play points by a defenseman. So last night, that was not on the power play, but I am curious to see where he ranks. He's in that top five. I mean, he's really good. He's a good quarterback on that power play.
So he's one of those guys that the Predators got that not too many people, I think, gave much of their attention to him joining the team, just because it was clear that they were selling off and people were focused on how much draft capital they were able to acquire in all of these trades. But here's a guy who's been able to be very productive on your power play in such a short amount of time, and that's been an area that the Predators have struggled with all year long.
Yeah, and that's why you're hoping that, you know, he can help improve that, and that, you know, you're trying to get one power play unit to be good, but if you can have two and spread the wealth a little bit, and we're seeing these young kids be a part of it, I think that certainly helps as well. So I like it. I think they're in a good position. They're 5 points out of a playoff spot right now. You heard David Poile earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road when talking about Connor Bedard, that, you know, the Predators are a long way off from being in the lottery to get him. And so if that's the case and you've acquired all these draft picks, it's a deep draft. You're going to have 13 draft picks this summer in Nashville at the draft. Why not keep making a run at it, you know, with this team, see what they can do? And especially when you get some of these guys back. Parson will be back eventually. Tomasino's day-to-day with an upper body. He'll get back eventually. You get Forsberg back eventually. So you never know what they can do. Now, the thing that worries me is when I look at the schedule down the stretch, you know, right now, and granted, they probably should have gotten 2 points last night, but they battled. It was Vancouver is a team kind of in the same position, or actually worse position, that they've been selling off for a while, and they're kind of like, well, hey, we're going to keep fighting. They got a lot of spunk in them. And so you get the point. You got to take care of these games. Arizona's next up. You need to go get 2 points there. But it's down the stretch that worries me, because you're going to be going up against some of the top teams, and that's where I think, you know, some of the inexperience could come back to get you. You know, like, they'll play Chicago, or they'll play, Arizona. LA is going to be tough because LA is one of the best teams in the West. Anaheim's not very good. Detroit's not very good. Chicago's not very good. So you want to take care of those three. But then you got to play Winnipeg and the Rangers back to back. That's going to be tough. Buffalo's going to be tough. Two against Seattle, Toronto, Boston, Pittsburgh. Things just pick up as you get towards the end of the season. So we'll see, you know, what that means.
Yeah, Chase. I mean, I think it should be exciting too for Predators fans that although you're not banking on getting into the playoffs because of all the moves that you made, it would be really exciting and a pleasant surprise if you saw this young group of guys, almost like the misfit toys all together, right? Bringing a bunch of young guys up, getting a couple new guys in, selling off some of your big pieces, be able to find themselves in a playoff spot because of how hard it is to make the playoffs in the NHL. And once you're in, I mean, the experience that these guys could get, I think the way a lot of Predators fans view this is, I mean, the likelihood of losing out and being able to get in the draft lottery and actually get the number one overall pick is so, so, so slim. So I think the way a lot of people are looking at it right now is, let's just watch this team and see what they can do. They're having fun out there. And I think it's also a good opportunity, too, for Barry Trotz. I mean, he's the one who's going on the road trip with all of them. He's going to get to know a lot of the young players, a lot of the coaches, a lot of the people who work alongside this organization as they, you know, young guys are getting opportunities. They got a lot of draft picks, and there's going to be a new era in Preds hockey.
Yeah, and I mean, it's already started, and it's fun. Preds 18% to make the playoffs right now. So, you know, again, and I think this is what I love about where we're at with this fan base now is, and I feel the same way, the pressure's off. It's like, you know the plan. The plan is there.
Yes.
The plan is reset. And they did that. And they traded off a bunch of assets. They got a lot of draft capital back. A 0.6% chance for the lottery. That's good. Thank you, Reporter Nick, for that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, it is so, so slim right now.
Yeah.
And I just think if you're trying to bank on that, you'd rather these young guys just try to make a run and get the playoff experience than trying to bank on losing out and maybe, just maybe, getting
the pick. Yeah, I think, either, you know, I don't necessarily want to be middle of the road, which is kind of where they are, and that's probably where they're going to end up. But the fact that you have 13 draft picks for this year, I will take that. I think that's good. And like you said, these young guys are now getting experience with playoff-type hockey. And when the, you know, when the heat's really up, that's going to be beneficial moving forward. So I think they are in a really good spot. They made the right moves, and now we'll see what happens with the future. We'll actually have a pair of tickets for the Predators and Kraken on Statue Day, March 25th. We'll have your chance to win those coming up when Max Herz joins the show at the bottom of the hour, so be listening for that. But coming up next, can this new look Predators, can they keep it going? I mentioned the schedule at the end. You know, what needs to happen for them to continue this run? We'll take your calls and texts on that, 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game.
With all the changes you've had, the group reacts to that message in that manner? Like, a lot of positives there?
Yeah, I even thought just the way that we played. I mean, you know, we were kind of coming from behind a lot tonight. But I thought that we played, you know, a pretty solid game. I really liked our effort, the speed that we played with, and the resiliency to be able to come back and stay with it and kind of take some of the things that we saw as coaches that need to be a little bit better, and guys went out and executed.
Head coach John Hines last night after the 4-3 shootout loss. Back here, Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik, and the reporter Nick Keyser with you. And they did. They had a bounce back. And that's the big thing that I want to see. When the chips are down, when they're down a goal or two or what have you, like they were last night, how do these young guys respond to that? Because I think that's where you really learn the most out of a player, you know, especially one that, you know, they're used to winning. They have a lot of skill. Milwaukee's been a good team. You know, Evangelista is a top-tier prospect. But how do they respond when they are up against it, when things aren't going their way? And I like the response last night. You know, they came up a little bit short, couldn't quite complete the comeback. That's going to happen at times. But the fact that they stayed in it and they battled the way that they did, I really, really like that. And I like the poise that they showed.
Well, and that's the experience you want these young guys to be able to get. You want them to be put in situations that they're very uncomfortable in, because you want them to be able to stay calm and perform to the best of their ability in situations like that. I mean, we talk about that in any sport. Anytime you get more playoff experience, you get more reps at your position, you play more, you get more starting minutes, whatever sport it may be in, and especially with these guys just making the move, a lot of them from Milwaukee to here. I think of Evangelista, how he was able to perform in a setting like that last night, and he rose to it. He was able to succeed in a situation like that. And I think a lot of the times we see different players, whether it be in the postseason, some players have reputations of, you know, squandering when all the lights are on them or the pressure's on them. But I think John Hines and Barry Trotz in this Predators organization, it's got to be pretty proud for some of these young guys stepping up. I mean, Luke Evangelista, he's obviously the young one that's turned everybody's heads as of recent, but I mean, even Tomasino getting on the board the other night, it's really good. You can't replace experience in reps just in practice. I mean, they need to be out there playing in these games, and it's exactly what they're doing right now, Chase.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I brought this up yesterday. We talked about it on our show, and then I brought it up with Caroline. I will combine the two pro sport, or two of the three pro sports here. Mm-hmm. Like, think about Malik Willis. If Malik Willis was playing right now in the XFL, how beneficial that could be to him when it comes to the Titans, that you let him play a full season in the XFL, get those game reps, be in those types of situations, and then he comes into training camp. I think he's light years ahead of where he is right now because of that experience. I equate that to the Predators. Luke Evangelista, you know, Parson in, earlier in the year, you know, these young guys, Glass got it last year, playing in Milwaukee, getting those game reps, and then they come to the NHL and they're continuing to get those game reps, but what that does for them. Practice is important. Practice is where you learn terminology and you learn formations and all of that. But you cannot replicate what you get out of the game speed, being in that moment, how fast-paced it all is. And these guys are getting that unbelievable experience right now. And I think that's gonna take them far. And that's why David Poile and Barry Trotz decided now is the time to go ahead and do that, because you have a jump start on next year with a lot of these key guys that I think are going to be on the roster.
Well, and you also have nothing to lose at this point in time. All the players, the fan base, everybody who covers, watches, cheers for this Nashville Predators organization, and you know what is happening. You know that you sold at the deadline, so the expectation to make the playoffs isn't there. And before they made these big moves, I can assume that it was probably really stressful within the locker room, within the organization, on what are they going to do? The players have no idea. Is David Poile going to trade me? Are we going to sell at the deadline? We still are trying to fight for a playoff spot. Whereas now, the message is very, very clear. We're getting a new general manager this summer. He's already working with our team. We sold off a lot of our veteran players. We have a lot of draft capital in this year's draft in Nashville. We brought up some young guys from Milwaukee. They're playing significant minutes. It's clear that the pressure isn't on this team like it was before, like it was a week and a half ago, right? So I almost think it probably was that monkey on their back for so long, because as much as we were wondering what this Predators organization was going to do, I have a feeling a lot of the older players within the locker room are wondering as well, because they knew they weren't playing their best. They knew that this team was scratching and clawing for a playoff position, and that they're pretty far out, and that the expectation here is to make the playoffs. But I think now that everybody knows the direction that this organization is going in, there's just been a lot of stress, I think, that has probably been taken off a lot of these players.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. The pressure is off of them right now, and they can move forward with that. So I think that's certainly going to be a big thing for them. Now I want to clear something up, and Nick's going to get mad at me, and I don't care. I'm going to pick on him a little bit. Colton Sissons last night scores on the backhand on a rebound. All right. And Nick, what were your exact words in your tweet? You called that a garbage goal.
Correct. It is a garbage goal. Would you like to know why it's called a garbage goal?
Okay, give me your definition, and then I'll disagree with you.
A garbage goal is when you are in front of the net, and any given opportunity that you have to knock it in, no matter how ugly it looks, no matter what angle it's coming from, because Colton clearly had to turn around, and yes, was it a slick goal with his movement? Yes. In my opinion, it is a garbage goal in front of the net, and Silvis had no chance. I'm sorry, how do you say his name? Silovis is
trying to say his name.
Yeah, it's so hard. But anyway, that is the best way for me to explain what a garbage goal is after playing hockey all those years. You can disagree, that's fine, but I'm just telling you, after playing for many years, what our coach called it, and that's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying. I look at it as he's cleaning up the trash. That's like Max said that in the call, that he was cleaning up the trash there and put it in the back of the net. If I hear garbage goal, I think like garbage time, you know, like an empty netter or whatever. But now that you have explained the definition, I will give you that. So maybe I won't disagree with you. It was pretty, though, with the backhand.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely was. Yeah, it was a money goal. I mean, and then Luke scoring those two, you know, I really thought they would win in the shootout. But, hey, bygones be bygones, but it's fine. We still got a point. We're still 6 points back of a playoff spot. So we'll see how they shape up. But I did call on Robbie and Rexroad. So if any members of the show are listening, I said,
well, Luke, one's on this show, so Luke, yeah, they're listening.
Luke will score 4 points on this trip.
Okay, yeah.
He needs one more.
He just needs one more.
Yep.
Ooh, that's nice interesting. Shot, Keezer.
You told me that last night, and I said, he's getting it. I think it's happening. Because he's confident right now. When I listen to him and then now I watch him on the ice, he's got the right amount of cockiness that you need. Like, he's got swagger. And I think he's going to – and the fact that he's getting top-line minutes is going to help.
Well, and the big thing, too, is when you score a goal – and, like, even when I scored – like, when I was a freshman, I scored my first goal. You have that huge rush. And then afterwards – you feel so good about it that when you're searching for the back of the net more and more, and I mean, McDavid probably doesn't have this anymore because he scores 50 goals a year now, but Evangelista, now that he's got that monkey off his back a little bit, just like how Tyson Berry said, yeah, no more bagels with the new team, right? Well, Evangelista, he's going to run off of that adrenaline after last night, but now heading into a college environment where he's going to feel even more comfortable on Thursday night, he might score another one. So, I mean, once you get that one, you feel all the more confident to get more in hockey. And I'm sure Dan Hyno is loving it right now.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question that he's loving it right now. Coming up next, Max Herz. He's loving it. We're going to see if he kept away from the geese and also talk a little Preds with him. We'll do that coming up next. And your chance to win tickets to a Preds game as well. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, the reporter, Nick Keezer with you. Be listening. At the end of this segment, we'll have your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken on March the 25th. That's Statue Day for Pecorine. It's also the Hockey Fights Cancer Game at Bridgestone Arena. 1 o'clock puck drop at Bridgestone Arena. So we will have your chance to win tickets to that coming up at the end of this segment. Let's say hello to Max Herz, who did a fine job last night on the call with Hal Gill. He is in Vancouver. The team will head to Arizona as the Predators will take on the Coyotes on Thursday. But, Max, I have to start with the all-important question because you tweeted this out. Did you and Hal avoid the geese? Is everything okay?
Chase, the last thing I heard is we're going to start with an all-important question, and then I did not hear the question.
Oh, okay. It cut out. I will. Did you and Hal avoid the geese?
We did avoid the geese. Not all Canadians are polite, according to a government piece of signage here. And the non-polite Canadians are, as they would say on the great TV program Letterkenny, Canada gooses.
Very well done. Very well done. All right, let's now get to the serious stuff with the game. I loved your call of Luke Evangelista's first NHL goal. He's been very impressive even before he put the puck in the back of the net. He's drawn penalties. I like the way that he's playing away from the puck. I know the coaches have been impressed with him. He said early on that he just wanted to earn each game. He's done that. He has earned each game, and the coaches have rewarded him by moving him up the lineup. He had some first-line minutes last night. What's been your impression of young Evangelista to this point?
Yeah, a lot of things, and he told me that about wanting to earn every game before the first game of the trip on Thursday during our pregame show before his second NHL game, and he said the same thing last night to Emma Lingan in the post-game press conference after his fourth NHL game when he scored his first two NHL goals, and they were big goals, and he was robbed of a goal before that on probably the best scoring chance of the three back in, I believe, the second period. I guess it was the first period. It was the first period. And, I mean, he really easily could have had a hat trick in that game. And then the best part is they let him shoot in the shootout, too. So this is what the Preds are going to be like for the rest of the season. The young guys who are playing for looks, playing for the future, are going to get opportunity. And if they play well enough to push the team either close to the playoffs or even into the playoffs, which really still is within the realm of possibility and within a very realistic arm's reach for this team, it's just going to be how far they can carry them. And I've been so impressed with Evangelista. The drawing of the penalties has been so awesome. He has not backed down from anything. And he's kind of been the aggressor a lot of times. And he ends up with blood on his jersey last night. He's been so good defensively. He's been all around the net. The tip-in goal is a great sign. Just all around fun to watch.
Max Herz is with us from the Predators Radio Network. When I watch this team now, I just feel like the pressure is off. They have this weight off their shoulders, even with the veterans that, you know, are still here that weren't moved at the deadline. And that, you know, who knows where that's going to take them. I heard David Poile, you know, talking about that this morning, that he likes the position that they're in. You know, they're far out of being in the draft lottery to get Bedard, but they have 13 draft picks after selling things off for this year's draft, and now they're still have a chance to get into the playoffs. When you watch them, do you feel the same way? Do you feel like there's just, you know, nothing to lose at this point?
Yeah, I think the way I would describe it is for many of the individual players on the team, they are experiencing pressure, but it's the type of pressure that those players would experience in preseason. And that's when players like these guys, who aren't necessarily opening night NHLers this year, that's the type of pressure that drives guys like Kiefer Sherwood, who had an amazing preseason this year and made the team. Guys like John Leonard, guys who are more by-the-book prospects like Luke Evangelista. And hopefully down the stretch, guys like Cal Foote, who are trying to establish themselves as everyday NHL players. So there are a lot of guys like that. Rasmus Hosklund just acquired as a part of that group too. I mean, I could list half the lineup right now. But it's good pressure because they want to take advantage of every opportunity they have while it's being presented to them. Because who are up right now, who may not be up the rest of the season. Predators have a really long injury list. But hopefully at some point, Philip Forsberg will return. Hopefully Juuso Parsonen will return. And Phil Tomasino has missed one game now. Hopefully he'll be back on the Sooner side. But those are guys whose spots are vacated right now. So some of the group I mentioned, even though they've all played well, probably two or three of those guys are going to go down. And it's even the same for Michael McCarron, who we knew as an established NHLer before he went in the NHL Player Assistance Program. Sounds like everything's back great with him and his off-ice life. And he played well in Milwaukee. So it's a real competition for ice time. And I think some of the NHL players getting traded away just created spots for it to be like that. And I think the pressure is good. There is absolutely nothing to lose for these players right now, and it's freeing them up a little bit.
We got Max Herz on with us. He's in Vancouver right now. He's been on the call with Hal Gill. Max, you obviously mentioned Luke Evangelista. There's a lot of other young guys on this team who've gotten significant minutes since selling off some of the Predators' older guys. Who do you think, you know, separate from Luke Evangelista, has been able to take the biggest step, you'd say, from joining this team and has been able to benefit the most from the amount of reps they've been getting these last couple of weeks?
I'm going to go with Tommy Novak. And I know he was on the team before that and doing well and playing power play and setting guys up. But he's getting to be a top-line center now. And I get the sense that John Hines and the coaching staff want to find a way for him to permanently center a line with Matt Duchene on a wing. And I think that pairing could work well for a couple of reasons, because we've seen those guys set each other up quite a bit. Both are good off the rush. I think Novak has done a really good job of being deliberate to the net a lot recently. And also the area they really want Novak to improve is faceoffs. And you have Duchene with him and quote unquote behind him to take more important draws or defensive zone draws, both as left-handed guys if you need to. So I think this is a really big opportunity for Novak because, I mean, if Novak doesn't continue to play as well as he has, and he's been great, then maybe the Predators think about going and getting another top six center this summer to play behind Ryan Johansson at 2C. But I think Novak really has a chance to make that him for next season. And Cody Glass is in that mix too, of course, but I think Novak really has come on lately, and I think they kind of know a little bit more what they have in Glass just because the sample size is larger, and they've both been great. But I would pick Novak in terms of the opportunity being larger.
And, you know, during the trade deadline and after the trade deadline, we talk a lot about all the assets the Predators have now moving forward and all the draft picks they were able to accumulate in this time. But Tyson Barrie's a guy who the Preds were able to get, a veteran in this league, and has been able to help the Preds out on the power play a little bit. How much do you think he can help this power play? I mean, we've seen a little bit of it, but moving forward, how much do you think he can help it, especially since that's one of the Preds' biggest weaknesses this year?
Yeah, I think, thank you for asking this question, Michelle, because I think it's legitimately the most important thing about the team right now is Tyson Barrie. And obviously they got a lot more for Ekholm in that trade. Mm-hmm. They got the Oilers' first round pick this year. They got the guy they took with their first round pick last year, who was a really good point per game junior scorer, 19 years old. They also got a fourth round pick. I think we are at the point where Tyson Barrie could be a Pred long term and could fill Mathias Ekholm's hole in every way and be better offensively. I think he's been so good so far, and you got to keep in mind he doesn't really know the system yet. Mm-hmm. He's coming from a team, the Oilers, that does things very differently because of who is on that hockey team, and his responsibilities are very different. Now, it certainly helps that he's playing with, in my opinion, one of the five best defensive defensemen in the NHL, and Ryan McDonough. Mm-hmm. That is a really easy pair to hop in on. But there are so many challenges of changing teams. He did it on the road. His Oilers equipment bag got to our hotel in Florida at 3:30 before his first game.
Oh my gosh.
Then he played at 7, breaking in his gloves, breaking in equipment. And that's just not easy to do. And I think he's been really, really good. He scored his goal from the point on Saturday against the Blackhawks. He had a point shot for Luke Evangelista's tip-in for the tying goal last night. They haven't had a ton of time on the second power play, and that first power play, of course, belongs to Roman Josi. But I think they can get creative with that power play, and man, would I love to see a way for them to find Barrie and Josi spots together on that top power play. I don't know if they would necessarily go two defensemen, but count me in as all for it.
That would be very fun. And Max, quickly, of course, I have to ask you, you know, you were with our very own Willie Donick as he was in a heated Twitter battle with Joe Rexroad regarding Vanderbilt men's basketball as they fight for a spot in the NCAA tournament and as they play in the SEC tournament this week. How are you guys going to be watching the games together if you have time? And how stressed is Willie, Max?
Well, Willie is always stressed about one, basketball, and two, Vanderbilt sports. But we watched the game against
Mississippi State.
I forget who we played. No, it was on Wednesday. We beat them. Some blue team. They weren't very good. But we beat them.
Nice.
We were in, I don't even want to call it a bar. We were in a restaurant in Florida. We had that on one TV, and they were playing 80s music, and another TV was showing all the music videos. So Willie was basically in heaven having a great time. But yeah, Joe has really fired him up. And I think it's actually going to be the same as 2017, where Vandy gets in much more easily than anybody realizes. Hopefully this time, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is not in the crowd as much as I love her when we get to the madness. And Victor Davis doesn't foul with the lead. But I think they're going to get there. I did not get to watch the game Saturday. It was during our hockey game. And then I believe the first game on Thursday is also going to be during our game while we're playing in Arizona. But after that, we are freed up to watch Friday, Saturday. And Willie thinks Vanderbilt is getting to Sunday. If we get there, I'll watch with him. I'll put it that way.
Max, I'll tell you this, a little breaking news for you, because I'm forward thinking. I'm going to do pre and post from Barrel House on Thursday. So I can give you updates.
There you go.
Nice. Hold
hey,
it down.
If they win, maybe I'll get Stack on the post-game show. Who knows?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Then we
I
get a rematch.
Awesome hockey.
Then we get a rematch, Max.
That would be awesome. Max, have fun in Vancouver and then on the trip to Arizona. Watch out for the geese on the way to the airport. And, you know, just watch out for Hal in general. Just make sure he's okay.
Oh, I have been. It's hard, but I have been.
Hey, do you have a trivia question for us so we can give some tickets away?
I do. Are we going to have people call? Should I be giving instructions? Or
yes. People question? Need to call 615-737-1025. Answer the question to Nick Kieser that Max is about to ask, and the first person to get it correct will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Seattle Kraken on March the 25th at Bridgestone Arena. That is Statue Day, a 1 o'clock puck drop. Also, Hockey Fights Cancer Day.
All right. Luke Evangelista scored his first two goals last night in Vancouver, first two NHL goals. How many Preds have scored their first NHL goal this season? Bonus points if you know who they are, but all we need to know is how many. And I'll give you two hints. The first hint is two of them made their NHL debut this year. Two of them had played in the NHL prior to this season. Oh, I just gave away the number, didn't I?
Did you just do it?
Okay, now you have to name. Okay, so since Max, we will work on the fly.
Name the four.
There you go.
There we go.
Okay, there you go.
It's very clear. I think I slept 5 hours.
It's okay. The phones are lighting up. So there you go. We'll get a winner. Max, thank you as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. The answer is four, by the way.
Yes, thank you. Max Herds with us from Vancouver as the Predators continue their road trip. Nick will get a winner, and we will come back and get back into the Titans in the quarterback carousel going on in the NFL right now. How could that affect the Two-Tone Blue? We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic hanging out with you. Max gave a hard question, I guess. Nick trying to get a winner back there. Did you get a winner?
No, I do not have a winner. I've had someone get three, and I gave him a chance, and he still got it wrong.
Well, do we need to come up with another question?
Perhaps.
Okay, well, you think on that.
Yeah,
you come up with one, since Max made it too hard. People are still trying, though. I like their moxie. Look, we're giving away Predators tickets right now. Be listening during Caroline Willie and D-Mace, because Kid Rock is coming to Bridgestone Arena on July 1st. Ooh. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to be there because he puts on a fantastic show live. I've seen him a couple times. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to Kid Rock before you can buy them. Tickets going on sale Friday at 10 o'clock.
It was 1989. How is that, Chase?
That's a good song, but it's not his best song. Like, I like the old school Kid Rock. Like, I'm all about Devil Without a Cause and Cowboy and Bawa Da Ba and, you know, that.
So
that
when
stuff.
Okay, so that song came out in 2009, and I distinctly remember riding, my mom had a convertible, we were riding in our little convertible with the top down, and we would sing that was like our song all summer long. I was probably only like 12 though, so
yeah. That sounds about right. And then like devil without a 2009, I mean, is what sounds right. Devil Without a Cause came out in 1999, I think is when it did. And that, I mean, he did this last time I saw him. Because, you know, he can do country, hip hop, rock, everything. And so he did this like cool part of his set where his DJ kind of called him out for his like country music photo shoots that he was doing. And he was like, okay, you want some old school? And he walks off stage, and then he comes back in the overalls and the hat and had the cigar and the beatbox or the boombox. And he starts doing like old school hip hop Kid Rock and got everybody going. Like, it was so cool.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's a good show. And I he was at the Ally 400 a couple years ago with the Tootsies folks. So so I saw him getting on an elevator, but I've never met Kid Rock. I want to meet Kid Rock.
I passed him. Also has the best bar on Broadway, I personally think. And I passed him one time there, and I got a picture and sent it to my mom and all my aunts, and they freaked out because they love him so much.
Very nice. So you can win a pair of tickets to see Kid Rock July 1st at Bridgestone Arena. Just listen to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up in just a few minutes. Well, the quarterback carousel is in full swing in the NFL. Derek Carr has signed with the Saints, so he is going to be their quarterback. That means Jameis Winston, they're going to move on from him. You know, Jameis is probably going to still be a backup, but there's going to be teams that jump on him, I believe. You know, I think, why wouldn't you? You know, he's a former first-round pick, so could take a chance on him. But what does that mean moving forward for the Titans? And the other thing too, with the deadline for franchise tag coming up, you know, what Lamar is going to be tagged, but it's going to be the non-exclusive one. So that means other teams would have a chance to give him an offer. Baltimore could then match. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen. I think that, you know, a team's going to come along and give him an offer, and then Baltimore is going to go, okay, we'll match it. And then it's done, and he's a Raven.
It's going to be interesting. You know what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. So that's my called shot, that he will not be with Baltimore. But, yeah, looks like he's going to get that, just the franchise tag, so it's not going to be the exclusive one. So it's going to be a bidding war, it looks like.
We do have a winner. We finally got one, so you can quit calling now because Nick was able to get a winner.
And texting.
So the Predators tickets have been given away. Congratulate. Who won?
Adam Barlow, our man up there in Portland.
Oh, Adam from Portland.
All right.
Awesome.
Adam in Portland, my man. Okay.
Also, Chase, really quick to the quarterback carousel, talking about Daniel Jones is also one to keep an eye out for today if the Giants decide to tag him. Which I do think they will, but yeah, they're still in negotiations to try to come to a deal with him. That guy's asking for like $50 million a year, I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it, but they're not going to have a choice.
Nope.
What does this mean though for, like, let's say, cause now the big fish is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to trade for Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to stay in Green Bay? Is he going to retire? What is he going to do? If the Jets and the Raiders, either one of them miss out on him, I do wonder if they call the Titans and maybe offer to overpay for Ryan Tannehill. And with everything we've talked about today, whether it's Derrick Henry or what have you, would Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel consider that if they know they could get a little bit more than Tannehill is worth?
I mean, I definitely think the Jets, especially when you look at this Jets team, and they've made it very, very clear that they want Aaron Rodgers and they're going to go try to get him. And we thought, when I heard that Derek Carr signed with the Saints yesterday, I thought, okay, Jets are all in on Aaron Rodgers. And it's going to be a decision on whatever is going on in Aaron's head. Is he going to stay with the Packers? Is he going to retire? Or is he going to go with the Jets? I don't really see him going anywhere else. But if I'm the Jets, then I'm making phone calls to teams like the Titans who have a quarterback who could be serviceable enough to get this team to get this team to be a contender in the Super Bowl, because they have so much talent on that team. And I look at that defense, and really the only spot they're missing is quarterback. And they're not in the position to draft somebody. They just drafted Zach Wilson a couple years ago. They need a veteran guy who can plug into their system and be effective. I look at Ryan Tannehill. I'm trying to think of other guys around the league. Maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy, I feel like, is going to be the
Raiders.
What's left?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be in that.
Baker, that question mark.
Yeah.
Depending on how you view him.
Baker should stay in L.A.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we don't know what's happening with Matthew Stafford on his health. I think he'll try to come back. But if you're the Jets, I think you're looking at right now it's Aaron Rodgers, or it's you hope to then get a Ryan Tannehill or Jimmy G type quarterback.
Real quick, Jonathan Jones, who's an NFL insider for NFL on CBS, put this out, and this is via Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports. I know there's talk that the Titans are shopping running back Derrick Henry, but my sources tell me they are not. I have been told general manager Rand Carthon will be methodical in his approach to free agency and changes to the team. The releases of tackle Taylor Lewan and receiver Robert Woods weren't surprising, and cutting loose edge rusher Bud Dupree also makes sense. I don't believe the Titans see any tangible free agent upgrade at quarterback over Ryan Tannehill, and taking away the most essential part of the offense in Henry would indicate Tennessee is tanking more than anything. The Titans can very much contend in the AFC South, and they'll have to do that with Henry. So we'll see what happens with that as we move forward. That's going to do it for us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. They'll continue this conversation on Derrick Henry, and Kid Rock tickets on the line as well. That's next on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.